Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn back over to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read these verses again. I know you've heard them a few times this week, but praise God, maybe we'll get them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And this whole week I've been talking about being salt and light and how to get the salt out of the salt shaker, how to begin to start releasing the things that God has placed in us towards other people. Let's turn over to Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. There's only one chapter in Philemon. And today I want to make a connection here that will help you to be salt and light. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul is praying for his good friend Philemon. And he says this in verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And this is just another way of phrasing what I've been trying to talk about this week. Becoming salt and light. Releasing the things that God has placed on the inside of us. Another way of phrasing that is that this is about you communicating your faith to other people and letting the things that God has done on the inside of you affect other people. That's just another way of phrasing it. And how does it say that this comes to pass? It happens by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And you know, all three of the ladies that spoke this morning basically made this exact same point. They were talking about that you've got to realize who you are in Christ Jesus. And this is really the thing that in my life caused me to start releasing the things that God was in me. I could say it this way, that how can you give away what you don't know that you have? And there was a period of time that when I first got born again, I believed I was forgiven and that I wouldn't go to hell and I'd go to heaven. And so because of that, I didn't have some of the fears and some of the problems that people did who didn't have that assurance. And I had a degree of relationship with God. But I didn't know that there was any good thing on the inside of me. I didn't understand. I thought it was all when we got to heaven. I used to go around and I adopted this phrase that we are all sinners, saved by grace. I saw myself eternally able to enter into the presence of God, but I didn't see that there was a real transaction that had taken place on the inside of me. And because of that, I didn't have any excitement about who I was. I had an inferiority complex and just all kinds of other things were going on in my life. And when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then God started revealing the Word to me, what happened was, man, I began to realize what I had in Christ. I began to see who I was in Christ, and you couldn't shut me up. I turned from an introvert to an extrovert nearly overnight. I got to where I witnessed to everything that moved. And you know what it happened? It was because of this verse, that the communication of your faith becomes effectual. That means it begins to work by acknowledging the good things that were in you. And I didn't know that I had these good things on the inside of me. When I started understanding that God loved me, that God was pleased with me, that God had put power on the inside of me, I just couldn't shut up. You know, really, if people in the body of Christ understood what they had, it would be like a little kid at Christmas when they get a toy or when they get a bicycle. You don't have to teach your kids. Now go out and tell every kid on the block how nice your dad is to give you this nice bike. And you tell them that your bike is better than their bike. And you go out and make them feel bad because they didn't get the same thing that you get. You don't have to tell your kids that. Instead, it's just the opposite. You give them something, they want to go out and tell everybody what they got and make everybody feel envious of what they've got. Instead, you have to tell them, now don't go out and make your friends feel bad. Not everybody got a brand new bike for Christmas. You know, enjoy what you got, but you have to slow them down. Well, see, that's the way it ought to be in the body of Christ. We ought to actually have to get to where we're telling people, now, you know, don't go out and just offend everybody. You know, there's right and wrong ways to share your faith. You ought to have to tone them down, calm them down. Amen. Instead, we got to build a fire under people and motivate them to go out and share their faith. The reason being that they don't know what they've got. Therefore, they aren't real excited over it because they don't realize what has happened. So we've got to realize what God has done on the inside of us before we can really begin to start being this salt and light. If you ever got a full revelation, if the acknowledgement of what you have in Christ, then your faith would begin to be effectual. You would begin to start sharing with other people. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to take some verses. Carrie used these verses this morning, and I've already talked about these this week. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's go back and read. In verse 4, it says, in verse 3 it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so we've already talked about these verses, that there is a spirit of Antichrist, a demonic power that is blinding people. And he goes on and talks about, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He lists some of the problems that he has, talking about being persecuted and neglected and all of these things that come upon them. Down in verse 16 he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now you know, when we read Scripture often, we just pass over things and don't think about it. You need to think about this. You need to practice what Wendell was talking about this week and meditate on this. It says, our light affliction. Who is this talking? This is the Apostle Paul that was persecuted more than anybody else. You could turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read what his light afflictions were. Being shipwrecked, and beaten with rods, and beaten with whips, and thrown in prison, and hated, and persecuted, and hunger, and thirst, and all of these kind of things. The Apostle Paul had problems bigger and greater and more severe than what any person in here has ever gone through. And yet the Apostle Paul said it's only a light affliction. How is it that a guy who is suffering more than you and I suffer could sit there and say that he just has a light affliction? It's not because of what was happening on the outside. It was because of the way he processed it. It's because of the way he focused and saw things. And he gives us the key right here. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So he looked at everything in the light of eternity. You know, if we were to just take this one key, I could minister on this a long time. I'm really wanting to get into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so I'm going to say this very quickly. But if you were to just focus on this one thing, if you were to think about, how is what is bothering you today going to affect you 1,000 years from now? You know what, really, there's just nothing that, if you look at things in the light of eternity, it's no big deal. It's just not a big deal. And because of this, Paul was able to shrink all of his problems down. I mean, being shipwrecked and beaten and put in prison, it's no big deal. He was going to spend eternity with God being recompensed. He was going to receive a greater reward because, according to tradition, Paul became a martyr and there is a greater reward. And so all of these things, man, whatever you suffer here, you are going to be recompensed to such a degree that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's around verse 17, he said something about that the sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, sometimes you look at people and it seems like some people have just suffered more than their share. You see some people that have just had tragedy after tragedy. I remember, I've studied a lot about the Holocaust. I've been to Auschwitz. I've seen tables and lamps that were made from human skin. And I've seen couches that were covered with human skin. And I've seen those things. I've been in those gas chambers. I've seen where they were burned and cremated. And you know, the feeling that just overcomes you is, man, God, this is so terrible. How could this ever, be made right? And from this side, us not having the benefit of being in on the other side and seeing it from eternity's perspective, it looks like that, these people suffered so much that how could this ever be made right? But on the other side, those who knew the Lord, I guarantee you, there is going to be so much glory, so much blessing, so much joy that it says what we suffer in this life isn't even worthy to be mentioned in comparison to what's going to happen. Now, we don't have the benefit of seeing that, but we can take it by faith that, see, if you just look at things in the light of eternity, it just takes whatever problems you've got and it shrinks them right down to where it's just a light affliction. If you are feeling like you got a terrible, heavy burden, it's because you aren't looking at things in the light of eternity. You aren't thinking about heaven and the recompense and the repayment that is going to be made for those who endured problems because of their faith in the Lord. If you look at it right, you can actually get to the place like the Apostle Paul. He said over in Philippians chapter 3 that I long to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Paul had learned that when we suffer, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, comforts us in all of our tribulation so that we know how to comfort others over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And because of this, Paul actually looked forward to suffering because he knew that the Holy Spirit would be there to comfort him. Man, he looked at things differently. It wasn't because he had a different amount of problems. He had more problems than you and I have, but he processed it differently. He thought about it differently. And one of the things is he put it in the light of eternity. And then the second thing in verse 18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's a second way that Paul was able to process these things and keep from being overwhelmed by the hardship is because he didn't look at things just in the physical realm. He looked in the spiritual realm.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 7th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 7th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
Our television and radio programs, our tapes, our books, our study guides, everything is designed to help share the Word with you. But you know, the very best way that I can get these truths into you in an in-depth way is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We have a campus right here in Colorado Springs with about 250 or so people. And then we have over 1,000 people that are in extension schools taking correspondence and things. There's many ways that you could take advantage of this, but I tell you, I just want you to be able to get saturated and immersed in this. And the best way I know to do that is through our Charis Bible College. So please call or write today.